Hello and welcome to our quarterly podcast where we discuss the activities to support consistent application of IFRS accounting standards. My name is Bruce McKenzie. I'm a member of the ISB and chair of the IFRS Interpretations Committee. Joining me today is Sophie Mozell, a member of the committee.
Hello everyone.
Thanks for joining us. In this episode, we will cover the discussions that took place at the two-day November committee meeting, where we had a very packed agenda. Now, at this meeting, the committee discussed five new matters, which we decided to publish tentative agenda decisions for. Four of these related to IFRS 18, our new standard on presentation and disclosure in financial statements. Now, the committee also decided to finalize two agenda decisions relating to IFRS 9 financial instruments. These deal with determining and accounting for transaction costs and embedded prepayment options. Lastly, the committee also concluded its discussions on the proposed updates to 10 agenda decisions for new or amended requirements in IFRS 18 and provided input to the ISB's project on business combinations, disclosure, goodwill, and impairment. Now, we won't cover all the topics in this episode, but you can find more information and the full meeting recording on our website. In this episode, we're going to focus on the matters relating to IFRS 18. Sophie, let's start by telling our listeners first about the discussions on the four IFRS 18-related tentative agenda decisions.
Sure. Thank you, Bruce. The fact is that entities are now actively preparing for the implementation of IFRS 18, which will become effective on the 1st of January 2027. As a preparer of financial statements myself, I can tell you that this is a hot topic for all. Hence, I am not surprised to see questions coming in to us on application of IFRS 18, and I am happy to see us being as responsive and helpful as possible. So the four IFRS 18 related matters for which we decided to publish tentative agenda decisions were classification of gains and losses on a derivative, managing a foreign currency exposure, top of the requirement to disclose expenses by nature, assessment of a specified main business activity for the purposes of the separate financial statements of a parent, and presentation of taxes or other charges that are not income taxes within the scope of IS 12 income taxes.
One point to note here is that before we go into detail, is that the committee performed a technical analysis of the questions in those requests, and it only does that if there is evidence of diversity in accounting for the matter that we covered in the submission. Now, as we discussed during our Q3 podcast, because IFRS 18 is not yet effective, we cannot look to practice in the market to obtain evidence of diversity, but we considered other sources of information to assess the pervasiveness of the matters and whether diversity is expected to develop. Now, these include, for example, submission themselves and informal conversations the ISB staff had with stakeholders. Now, I suggest we go over the four topics one by one and tell the listeners about the key takeaways from the committee's discussions on these topics.
Excellent. Let's start with the classification of gains and losses from a derivative. The request asks how an entity applying IFRS 18 classifies in its consolidated statement of profit or loss gains or losses on a derivative entered with a third party that is used to manage the foreign currency risk of a net exposure, but is not designated as a hedging instrument applying IFRS 9. IFRS 18 requires an entity to classify gains or losses on such a derivative in the category affected by the risk the derivative is used to manage. However, if that classification would result in grossing up gains and losses on the derivative or involve undue cost or effort, then the entity is required to instead classify all gains or losses in the operating category. The entity in question has assessed that the undue cost or effort exemption was not applicable in the fact pattern being considered. The committee observed that an entity first needs to identify the risk a derivative is used to manage, which is typically informed from an entity's risk management policies. Once that risk is identified, the entity can then determine the categories in profit or loss that are affected by that risk and the resulting classification of gains or losses on that derivative. In the fact pattern, the request, the derivative is used to manage only the net foreign currency exposure and not the underlying gross exposures. The net exposure in the fact pattern was a net liability, which affected a single category in the consolidated statement of profit or loss, the financing category. Therefore, classifying gains or losses on the external derivative in the financing category would not require grossing up such gains or losses. As a result, the prohibition in paragraph B72 of IFRS 18 would not apply. Consequently, the committee concluded that the entity is required to classify any gain or loss on the external derivative in the same category as the income and expenses affected by the risk the derivative is used to manage. Therefore, in the fact pattern in the request, in the financing category of its consolidated statement of profit or loss.
Thanks very much, Sophie. Now, moving on to the second topic on scope of the requirements to disclose expenses by nature. Could you share with the listeners what the committee considered?
Sure. Paragraph 75 of IFRS 18 requires an entity to present line items in the statement of profit or loss, including for operating expense, paragraph 75AII, and amounts required by IFRS 9 and IFRS 17, paragraph 75B and C. Paragraph 83 of IFRS 18 requires an entity that presents one or more line items comprising expenses classified by function in the operating category of the statement of profit or loss to disclose, in a single note, the total and the amount of five specified expenses, for example, employee benefit expense, that is included in each line item. The request asks whether the requirements in paragraph 83 apply either only when an entity presents operating expenses listed in paragraph 75AII by function in the operating category of the statement of profit or loss, or when an entity presents any expense by function in the operating category of the statement of profit or loss, including expenses listed in paragraph 75B and C. The committee observed that paragraph 83 contains no exceptions or exclusions. It applies when an entity was presented any expense classified by function in the operating category of the statement of profit or loss, including expenses in paragraph 75B and C.
Thanks. Now, the expenses in question might include amounts that resulted from the release to the statement of profit and loss of costs that were previously capitalized. For example, the amortization of insurance acquisition costs that were previously capitalized as part of the insurance contract asset. Now, the submitter expressed concern over the complexity of disclosing the information required by paragraph 83 for such expenses. However, paragraph B84 of IFRS 18 includes a relief measure that was designed to address this very situation. The paragraph says the amounts disclosed in accordance with paragraph 83 need not be the amounts recognized as an expense in the period. The amounts disclosed include amounts that have been recognized as part of the carrying amount of an asset. The tentative agenda decision reminds readers of this requirement. Now let's move on to the third topic, which is about specified main business activities in a parent's separate financial statements. Sophie, can you please give us a summary of what the committee discussed?
Yes. In the fact pattern described in the request, the reporting entity is the ultimate parent of a large group of entities. Its only activities are holding investments in subsidiaries, making decisions on the management, acquisition and disposal of those subsidiaries, and distributing the investment returns to shareholders. The parent accounts for its investments in subsidiaries at cost, in accordance with paragraph 10A of IS 27 separate financial statements. The request asks whether the parent, for the purposes of its separate financial statements, has a specified main business activity, specifically the main business activity of investing in unconsolidated subsidiaries, which would result in the entity classifying income and expenses from those subsidiaries in the operating category of the statement of profit or loss. The committee observes that an entity can have a main business activity of investing in unconsolidated subsidiaries, Assessing whether a parent has such a main business activity for the purposes of its separate financial statements requires judgment. In particular, when the parent has more than one business activity and depends on the parent's specific facts and circumstances. In the fact pattern described in the request, the parent has no substantive business activity apart from holding and managing investment in subsidiaries and distributing returns from those investments. In those circumstances, concluding that investing in unconsolidated subsidiaries is not a main business activity for the parent would result in the parent not having any main business activity. The committee observed that an outcome in which an entity has no main business activity would be inconsistent with the ASB rationale underlying the requirements of the standard. The committee observed that for a parent, the absence of any other substantive activity is sufficient evidence to conclude that investing in unconsolidated subsidiaries is a main business activity for the purposes of the parent's separate financial statements, and consequently, the parent is required to classify the income and expenses from its investments in unconsolidated subsidiaries in the operating category of its statement of profit or loss.
Brilliant. Thanks very much, Sophie. Now let's move on to our last topic, which relates to the presentation of taxes.
Sure. The committee discussed whether an entity applying IFRS 18 is permitted to present taxes or other charges that are not income taxes within the scope of IAS 12 income taxes. In the income tax expense or income line item of the statement of profit or loss required by paragraph 75A4 of IFRS 18, or in the income tax category of the statement of profit or loss. The committee concluded that applying IFRS 18, an entity is not permitted to present taxes or other charges that are not income taxes within the scope of IAS 12 in this specific income tax line or category. The committee noted that in accordance with paragraph 24 of IFRS 18, an entity presents additional line items and subtotals if such presentations are necessary for a primary financial statement to provide a useful structure summary.
William, thanks very much, Sophie. It's really useful to get those summaries. So to sum up, on each of the four topics, the committee concluded that the principles and requirements in the IFRS accounting standards do provide an adequate basis for an entity to apply the applicable requirements in IFRS 18. So consequently, the committee tentatively decided not to add a standard setting project to the work plan and instead decided to publish tentative agenda decisions on each of these four topics. Now, these four tentative agenda decisions are open for public comment until the 6th of February, 2026. Now, the last topic we want to talk about on today's podcast is the committee's discussions on the proposed updates to the 10 agenda decisions for new or amended requirements in IFRS 18, which it exposed for comment on its June meeting. Firstly, the committee decided to recommend to the ISB to withdraw two agenda decisions. These are presentation of income and expenses arising on financing instruments with a negative yield and supply chain finance arrangements reverse factoring. Now, these agenda decisions will remain applicable until 1st of January 2027, when IFRS 18 becomes effective. Now, to the extent that there's diversity, or at least expected diversity, in applying the requirements in IFRS 18 to the accounting matters addressed by these agenda decisions, stakeholders are able to submit questions to the committee following the process on our website. Secondly, the committee decided to propose additional updates to two agenda decisions, these being presentation of payments on non-income taxes and classification of tonnage taxes, together with a tentative agenda decision about presenting taxes or other charges that are not income taxes, which we discussed earlier. Lastly, the committee decided to finalize the proposed updates to the remaining six agenda decisions. The ISB will consider the committee's decisions at a future meeting. So listeners, if you want to know more about how the committee works and why companies need to consider agenda decisions when applying IFRS accounting standards, be sure to watch our explainer video on ifrs.org. Summaries of the committee's meetings can also be found there. We hope you found this podcast informative. With that, I'll say thank you to Sophie for joining us, and we'll sign off until next time. Take care.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please take the time to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast player. please contact us on communications@ifrs.org with any questions, comments, or suggestions. You can also sign up for email alerts on our website, ifrs.org, or find us on social media.